Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
Trying to maintain our game faces because we're tasting a little bit of wine in the studio today.
It's kind of a fun way to do a radio show.
Yeah, if you're coming to work on Sunday, doing it live, you might as well do it in a relaxed way.
Why not?
So, and we have in the studio Lavinia Cassano from Cantina Menier Salento, from Puglia. And you're going to talk us through the second wine, the Alba Negra.
Alba Negra, yes. It's a blend made with Primitivo, Malvasia, and Aleatico. The first thing you can notice in this wine is the nose, the smell that this wine has. You can smell eucalyptus, thyme, mint.
Yeah, the eucalyptus always makes me think of Aleatico.
Yes, yes, of course. It's incredible, the smell you can... It's so, a pity that we cannot...
For the Italian wine amateurs, would you describe the nose of the wine in Italian? Il naso?
In Italian?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. È molto interessante il profumo di questo vino. È molto intenso il sentore di eucalipto, timo, origano, tutto ciò che è sottobosco della macchia mediterranea.
Yeah, all the
is it clear enough?
Yeah. So folks who speak Italian, I'm sure it's perfect, but just nice. Sounds somehow a little bit more romantic in Italian than it does in the English. That's all. I want to hear Chef's description of the wine. Because it's always like, because your reactions are always like visceral and,
well, yeah,
and
I
about
get
the food that
a,
you want for
I
it.
I get almost a gamey tone to it. So it's kind of like that bloody meat, you know, in a good way, yeah, kind of thing. And I love, there's almost some sort of stoniness to it or minerality. The there minerality is, a, yeah, there is just a, like, the, oh, I, lo- I love
and the finish has a mineral character that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's very, and I can definitely, again, I mean, these wines are just so great. They're so beautiful. And definitely meat, you know, maybe this is venison this time. I think that would be beautiful with venison and maybe some sort of fruit compote or... you know, maybe something, again, with rosemary. I can see cooking with rosemary, marinating the venison and rosemary and extra virgin olive oil, hitting it with a little bit of tone of that. And I think the food needs salt. I don't know what there's, I guess it's that minerality maybe, but I just want food with salt with this.
Yeah,
for
there
sure.
is something almost, the minerality has almost salinity to it. What would be a dish that you would like or you would like to show the wine with?
Maybe maialino con le prugne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pork.
Yeah, maybe the suckling pig with prunes.
Oh, yes.
Be great. Yeah, I think pork immediately with this.
And
yeah.
Also, why not chocolate cake?
Why not?
Yeah. Meditation wine also. Yeah.
And so, the question I always ask people in the wine business or growers from around the world is, if you could have wine from another zone, if is there a favorite? From an area that's totally unlike your area that you like to drink or that you collect or that you think about or you travel to visit to taste?
Oh, yes. I love, definitely love Chablis from France for the white wines. For the reds, maybe...
That might make you the only Chablis collector in Puglia. I wonder if you're saying this on American radio so they don't hear it back home.
No.
No. No,
no.
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 It's okay.
Okay.
Va bene.
Va bene, okay.
Va bene. And for reds?
For the reds, maybe Californian wines, or also from Spain, or South Africa, also.
Wines, red wines with more
red
sun.
Reds, yes, yes, definitely.
With more sun, like Pugliese reds.
With this powerful roundness, strong.
That's interesting that those are your choices. That's very, very good.
So the third wine that you brought with you, the wine that in English on the label, it looks like the name of it is Fine.
Yes, the name is Fine. Yes, exactly.
Is it Fine or is it Fine?
Yes, it's Fine. I'm not joking. Because Fine in Italian means the end. And in a certain sense is, yes, the end. Because we started with a Negromaro And we're trying to close the circle of all of the wines that we produced with the late harvest of Negroamaro. So a better quality of Negroamaro, really intense nose, and very personal. Because the first Negroamaro that we produced is called number zero, because we started from zero. And now, after 16 wines, we have a totally different Negroamaro. This is late harvest. It's harvested at the first 10 days of October, and it's really intense because this wine has two fermentations, and the second one is in oak barrels for 60 days. And it gives all the powerful to this wine.
So the first fermentation is the regular alcoholic.
Yes.
Regular alcoholic fermentation.
Yes, and still for 20 days.
And then it's transferred immediately for the malolactic fermentation.
Exactly.
During the winter time.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's fascinating stuff. This is probably as good a Negroamaro and as satisfying to drink a Negroamaro as I have had. I've had an awful lot of lousy Negroamaro, poor quality, uneven quality, the wines not being clean, not consistent ripeness. Why do you think there's been a struggle with Negroamaro quality? Because I think it has a little bit of struggle for perception, but the quality potential, I think, is maybe the highest in Puglia.
Maybe because it's very common. It's a very popular grape. And, you know, a lot of winery tried in the past to sell because they discovered this treasure and they tried to sell for quantity and not for quality.
Because it's easy to ripen and it's easy to get quantities.
Yes.
So it's a little
maybe
bit...
Maybe for this, yes. And you know also the name Negroamaro means black and bitter. And maybe...
Well, to me, you know, and again, knowing wine a bit, that means that, you know, the skins are going to be dark and that they're going to be thick because that's where the tannins, the bitter quality comes from.
Yeah.
But it also means ageability. What is the first vintage of fine that you all have produced?
Is this one.
Okay.
Yes, because it's the new baby coming.
Yeah, I'm very curious about the ageability of the wine.
Yes, you mean how many years we can store it, right?
Yes.
Oh, this one, for sure, 8-10 years, in good condition, of course.
A lot of glycerin.
Oh, well, the glycerin, you can see it in the glasses.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The alcohol level is not, it's not shy. Mm-hmm. It's the reason that you have this last.
Yeah, it's very intense, really beautiful again. So. Color, gorgeous.
Would you talk us through... Talk us through the nose and the qualities of the wine.
Yes, it's really specific. If you have never smelled a Negroamaro, it's not easy to explain it. But a lot of red fruits, and it's really common for Puglia wines, of course. A lot of mature red fruits. A lot of... also strawberry in the taste and also in the nose.
The layering of fruits and herbs, no?
Yes, also.
And almost dried herbs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I can't think of the Italian name for savory, but summer savory. And almost maybe a little bit of selvaggio, you know?
Yes.
Some of the sage. Is there as well, but the sweetness of the fruit, it's surprising because you smell it and you think that here's this enormous rich oily thing, but there's a freshness to the fruit.
Yes.
And a layering to the fruit, and the herbal aromas are very balanced with the fruit aromas.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get it on the palate, it is that rich oily thing, but the tannins are sweet and the acidity is good.
Yes, it's not an aggressive wine.
No,
I agree.
This is a new wine, but what would be a Pugliese dish that you think would be successful?
A good strong dish, maybe.
It's only meat at Cantina Maniera.
It seems like it. These are definitely wines for meat.
Yes, maybe I don't know, a good Parmigiana with aubergine Parmigiana, and maybe also with pezzetti di cavallo. That means. Horse meat, it's really popular in Puglia with the tomato sauce and with spices. Also.
My guess is the American audience is going to be more behind the eggplant parmigiana, a rich one, a rich one than the cavallo.
I do not eat cavallo also, but, you know.
But that would be a traditional dish for
Yes.
So, are there any favorite American dishes for your wines that you've had or dishes from other cuisines that you think are really interesting for your wines?
A good bourguignon, maybe.
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
Yep.
And the dish is made with red wine, so it would be beautifully made with it.
Chef, you're not allowed to make bourguignon with
I can do whatever I want, Tony. Come on.
And maybe for the whites, our...
Carly will get it for me.
Mm-hmm. Our Fiano Minutolo should go well with artichoke before you were talking about artichoke and asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a great pairing.
I agree. I feel artichoke with this. I really, I mean, specifically the wine before, the fine, I really do see risotto with it.
Mm-hmm. She's actually talking about their white, their Fiano, which is superb, which is a great artichoke wine.
Oh, boy.
Well, you'll have to make the artichoke dish, and we'll have to taste the
alba
negra with it.
Absolutely. See what happens.
See how that goes. We do have a couple of listener questions, one about artichokes. So let's maybe we can spend a couple of minutes on artichokes to kind of wrap up, because I have two different questions about artichokes, about baby artichokes and about globe artichokes. And usually right before asparagus comes in, you think of artichokes being in season. They're being shipped in from other places. But
yes.
So how do you like to deal with artichokes?
I think one of the things about working with artichoke is that you just have to realize that they're very hard. They're hard to peel. I think, you know, even as a chef, you might be a little bit scared the first time you're working with an artichoke. You have to have a very sharp knife, and then you have to know how to handle a knife so that you don't cut yourself. So that's all very negative, and I love artichokes, and it's one of my favorite things to work with. So I'm just giving you a tiny warning. But yeah, a small, sharp paring knife, and you do want to peel the bottom. And of course, they oxidize immediately. So when I say, I'm sorry, you want to peel the sides, you want to take out the outer leaves if you're going to cook the artichoke just to eat the center. If you want, you can also cook the whole artichoke and, of course, enjoy the leaves and dip the outer leaves and, you know, bite off that wonderful soft piece at the end. But you're cooking in, in acidulated water. So you want water that has a lot of lemon juice, maybe a little bit of white wine, and certainly why not something from, a great Italian, not a great, but a good Italian white wine would be nice. And then aromatics in the broth that you're making. You could put chicken stock in if you don't want to. You could just simply put mirepoix in the stock. And as you're peeling, I would have that acidulated broth ready to go so that you're immediately going into that broth so that your artichokes do not oxidize. You can even cut the stem off and separate it from the bottom of the artichokes. They cook at a different time. You may want to cook those separately. You always want to cut the top off because there are... the artichoke is in the thistle plant, and those are actually little thistles at the top, so you don't want to eat those. So you do want to cut the top off. So you're exposing basically the bottom, the top, and peeling off a little bit out around the outside because those leaves are really not edible unless you're just dipping and biting them. So artichoke is, I think you're a good cook and an adventurous cook if you decide to try to work with artichokes. Beautiful vegetable.
Lots of artichokes in Puglia?
A lot of. And a lot of way of cooking them.
Do you have a great artichoke dish?
Yes. Artichoke are most known in Rome.
Of course.
But also in Puglia vegetables, you can eat vegetable everywhere. Yes, it's really rich of vegetable.
And probably what, with extra virgin olive oil and a little lemon and Reggiano or
the
artichoke?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would that be very traditional? Very good.
Very common. Yes.
So, well, since we're lucky enough to have you today, we've got maybe a minute left to tell people why they should come and visit Cantina Menir and visit Puglia, and what's the reason? What should they come and expect to see?
Because through the radio, it's not easy to tell people to describe the smell of this wine, or to show the intensity of the color. So if they want to see and smell different tastes, they should come. And also, why not have go to the beach?
is there a best time to visit Puglia? You all are close to the sea.
Yes we are on the sea. So the best period is in I think in spring, because in summer it's too hot, too warm.
So
avoid August.
Great. So after the program, we're going to get on a plane and go right to Puglia and go
Sounds
to the beach.
Good.
After the winter we've had here in Baltimore.
Thank you, Lavinia. So
Thank
nice to talk
you.
With you today.
Thanks
Thank
much
you.
For having, for coming and joining us. Thanks for listening to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we'll see you next week.